Tonight, we're less than 24 hours away from Cubs playoff baseball as Mark Carmen joins the show. Then it's Thursday, so of course, State Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis will jump on the pile. And finally, we'll taste some delicious wine from an award-winning sommelier before Molly Raynor and Katie Nixon close the show. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, it is. It's Thursday, and as Craig said, it is less than 24 hours from game time. The Chicago Cubs and the San Francisco Giants. I'm fine. We're all fine. I tweeted at Sam Panionovich, who accused me of being nervous, that I was not, in fact, nervous. And then yesterday in traffic, I got nervous, Scott.
No, I'm nervous. Hey.
I don't know why. Why are we
because
nervous?
Because you're Cub fans.
There's nothing we can do about it.
No, but you just know that somehow something outrageously and massively terrible is possible.
What? No, that's not why I'm nervous.
Don't put the whammy on the Cubs already.
What does it mean, massively?
You put your libertarian whammy on the Cubs?
Stop
Senator,
it. What has happened? Gary Johnson?
We're not even talking politics. Oh, see? And there it goes. Carm, well, what can you do to soothe people who are starting to get just the nerves?
Well,
the
butterflies? Not a whole lot, Patty. This is the time of year this is what you live for. This is what you dream for. This is what it's all about. I'd like to remind everybody in this studio last year that no one would have ever thought the Chicago Cubs would have been in the playoffs last year and won the wild card game and then took on the big, bad St. Louis Cardinals. Remember, lost game one to John Lackey, who's now a Cub, and then win three in a row to knock off the St. Louis Cardinals to advance to the NLCS. Kyle Schwarber planting a baseball on the right field scoreboard.
It's still there.
That it's still there today. So that came out of nowhere.
That was magical.
It was. And now you've added on. You've got experience in Lackey. You've got experience in Hayward, even though he's had a poor year. You have experience in Ben Zobrist, who's going to give you balance in your lineup. And you've got young players who are MVPs.
And you've got Madden.
And you've got the king of them all. You got to love Joe Madden. I was out at the press conference today. Joe Madden talking about Bruce Bochy. He's a Cowboy. I like to go up against Cowboys. It's going to be interesting what's going on in the dugout.
Showdown.
And the bottom line here, I got some stats for you. Okay. What do you guys think is important going into the playoffs?
Important.
Pitching.
Well, okay. Let's start with pitching. Pitching. I wonder what the stats
will
say on pitching. Here we go. Let's see. Of the 20 teams to lead their league in rotation ERA, the last 20. Don't look at my notes. Don't cheat
on
me.
I'm not looking.
Okay.
I can't see.
How many of the last 20 to lead their league in ERA that made the playoffs actually won the World Series?
I'm sorry.
I was told there'd be no math.
I know. Patty was saying equal rights amendment. I didn't know we were talking about that.
You said run average. I got you.
You said,
don't play with me.
I'm sorry.
Step off.
You said pitching was important.
I know. Scott said pitching was important. Scott, direct your questions to the man who threw that at you.
Scott said pitching is important. Of the 20 teams to lead their league in rotation ERA, who's the last team that won the World Series? 20 teams in a row that have actually had the best ERA in their league. How many of those have won the World Series?
Three.
Yeah, the answer is one. The 2007.
See, I was closer than you guys because you guessed nothing.
So, like,
we were very deferential is what we were.
Yeah, that's what the show needs is people to be deferential.
Do you think it's important? So pitching and how you did during the year not really relevant. How about finishing the year hot? Do you think
hold on a second. Did we lead the league?
We did.
Really?
We led the NL in ERA at 2.94.
That's already one. Okay. I don't like the way this is going, Carl.
I'm saying
1 out of 20. This is already terrible. You're a horrible human being.
His version of Malcolm Gladwell's revisionist history, which is solid. I love it.
Well, what I'm doing here, it's not to say that the Cubs are in trouble.
Reality check? What are you doing?
I'm just saying that it's impossible to predict. It absolutely positively.
No, what you just did was that we have...
Do you think
less than a 10% chance of winning the World Series right now is what you're telling me.
A lot of people think...
I'm out of here.
I am not telling you that. I'm just telling you that it's unpredictable.
Yeah, you pretty much just did.
So do you think it's important...
312-981-7200. Did Carm... Did he or did he not just say we pretty much have less than a 10% chance of winning the World Series?
Do you think it's important to be playing well at the end of the year, or do you think it doesn't matter?
I think it's important.
It doesn't matter.
It seems like it matters.
Okay.
Seems like it matters. Way to make a commitment, Stantis.
So last year, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. In their last 32 games, they were 15 wins and 17 losses. 2014 Giants, who the Cubs will be playing tomorrow.
Somewhat, by the way, that counts as somewhat matters. Because
That counts as doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all.
Because they're less than 500.
They're under 500. They were dogs down the stretch.
They weren't severely under 500.
Severely. They went under the bus 500. Right? They didn't have tire tracks on them.
Yeah, a couple games. All right, go ahead.
The 2014 San Francisco Giants, who the Cubs will face tomorrow, they went 6-9 down the stretch. The hottest team in the final month,
Wait, where did the Cubs go down the stretch?
The Cubs were the second hottest team in the National League.
The last 10 games? So what were the last?
Last 10, I'd have to pull
six
it up.
And four, I think.
Yeah, you better pull it up.
You better pull it up.
The hottest team down the stretch in the National League was the New York Mets, who got
27-13,
yeah,
right?
Who got eliminated. They got eliminated. Yeah, hottest team in the final month.
They were way over 500.
The hottest team in the American League was the Red Sox, 19-10. They just lost tonight to the Indians, so they're down 1-0 in their ALDS. The Colts. Oldest team was the Blue Jays, who won their wild card game and smoked the Rangers today.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know.
I would like for Mark Carmen to address the Sports Illustrated cover curse.
Oh, don't do that.
So Sports Illustrated,
here we go.
Who I
is going to be less than 5% chance?
I'm sorry,
that's okay. Don't do it.
How many?
So Sports Illustrated, who I indirectly work for, like to put that out there. I am under the Time Inc. umbrella with FanSided, and there was a Sports Illustrated person in the office today. So I yelled at him, Rob, and I don't believe in the Sports Illustrated curse. I do believe, and I think everybody in the studio, just judging by the terrified looks that I'm getting, I do believe that there is inherently more pressure on a team that has not won for 108 years. I do think that actually does matter. It's not some artist. It's not some Sports Illustrated cover or some ridiculous Billy Goat.
But with the Cubs
else.
In general, that seems to have always been an amount of pressure going throughout the whole season. You know, they crack under the curses and the fans and the hate and the love.
There was an energy in the ballpark in 2003 when Bartman went down that definitely impacted the team. Hey, you know how the Cubs had the best record in all of baseball this year? How important do you think that is?
It's not.
You see, now you're just fine.
Yes, it's very important.
But we know this, though. I mean, we've seen teams that have just rolled during the regular season.
How many teams have won?
Since the wild card era began in 1995, which is 21 years. How many times has the best team in baseball won the World Series?
You said 10. How many years?
21 years.
I'd say two.
I was going to say two.
225?
225.
227 was a great show back in the day. four times.
Okay.
Four times. The 13 Red Sox, 09 Yankees, 07 Red Sox, and 98 Yankees.
So now we're somewhere between 10 and 20%.
Well, let's go back to the 07 Red Sox, though, right? 07 Red Sox, was that their first?
That was their second.
That was their second.
Yeah, they won it in 04 and 07.
See, here's the thing, though. I practiced
feel so
this.
Much worse right now.
No. I practiced over the year. I tested like my crazy sort of neuroses, and I said, if I don't watch when they pitch, they usually do better. That just wasn't the case. They kept pitching well this year. So I kept on trying my little, my neuroses, the things that I was over the years, I was just like, I just can't. I'm not going to follow them. They'll do better. They'll get out of it. They just, you know what? If they're a good team and they play good defense and they have solid pitching and they do what they need to do, I think like what the Mets did the other night when they're pitching against Baumgarten, finally they started to work the count on him. As good as he is, they were like swinging at every first pitch. You don't want to do that to that guy.
Right.
You don't want to give him that chance.
Well, I mean, the guy's ridiculous. He's got an ERA in the postseason of 0.66. So what you want to avoid if you're the Chicago Cubs, in my opinion, first of all, you might as well just go ahead and sweep the series. That'd be great. But let's just say for argument's sake that you get to a game five. That dude is coming in the fifth inning of that game after pitching game three. You know he is. He's got a rubber arm. So if you get to game five, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you have to have the lead in that game. Otherwise, he's coming in, and you're going to lose. So just let's not have that happen. Can we just make it? Let's all make a pact now. We're not going to be down in game
Hold
five.
But I have to say this, though. The more he continues to do well, the better I like our chances, because ultimately this streak for him is going to end.
It's got to end at some point? Okay.
I like that. Do you know what I mean? Where he's like, oh, this guy hasn't had anybody score. Hey, listen. I mean, that statistics will bear that out. He's not going to be like the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball in the playoffs. Eventually, he's going to have a rough outing.
I mean, when I watch him, I don't get how he's that hard to hit.
I'm the same way. I was watching last night. I'm going, really? And they just can't touch him.
His ball moves so much.
I went deaf when you said that we had less than 10% chance of winning. 312-981-7200. Carm texted me earlier in the week and said we should get Cubs fans in the right frame of mind. I don't know what you just did, but I don't know.
I like what he did, though.
I know. We'll get more of it in a moment. Okay. I need to digest for a moment.
I'll get you in the right frame
of mind.
One out
of the last 20 with the best ERA going into the playoffs, and only four out of the last 21 that had the best record.
Okay. Cubs had.
So that's really puts us.
Can't rely. You got to do it now. It's not a meritocracy, as Theo likes to say.
It's a who does best under pressure.
Sure.
I heard that.
The pressure moments are the sweetest moments.
That's why we got Zobrist. We got pressure guys, clutch guys. That's why we brought in Lackey. Guys who had that experience.
We got winners all over the place.
I'm feeling clutchy. More after this on 720 WGN during the conversation. If you want, I think you take Carmon and his numbers. Tell us how you're feeling. 312-981-7200. Call or text us. I like it. It's festive.
Oh, yeah.
I have friends that really don't like this song, but I like this
song. What's the Yankee song? What do they sing?
Oh, boy.
Those aren't friends.
That's just for Craig. He's just poking Craig.
I'm not poking him because he was looking like he was almost into the song. He was like halfway into it.
How you doing, Craig?
I am doing wonderfully. I'm about to play what the Yankees sing every time they win the World Series, which is a whole bunch of times.
Oof. What is it? Let's hear it. Oh, this is Kelly Clarkson, isn't it?
It's not Kelly.
I know. Start spreading the news.
Yeah, it's kind of a long lead-in. Probably could have jumped in a little sooner here.
Start spending your money.
These are the Cubs have a small payroll this year, right?
Nobody can live in this city.
There you go.
You're going to live in a closet.
Somewhere in Brooklyn.
Spending $3,000 a month.
It's just mostly not this year.
The pizza's overrated.
Wow. I was delivering. They call it a pie.
Oh, boy. All right, Carm, what else do you have to tell us about?
Well, listen.
Heading into the playoffs tomorrow.
Okay. Let's just.
Game one.
Let's just remember.
Playing the Giants.
To those who are fortunate enough to be going out to the ball field tomorrow, an 8:15 start.
Why so late? Is it because of the
TV?
Right.
Yeah, pay those bills. Or actually, let's rephrase it. Got to get really, 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 really rich. 3,048 tickets available right now on StubHub.
Jeez.
How much?
Cheapest standing room right now is $135.
Okay.
The cheapest seat is $165.
That's not bad.
That's not terrible.
You know, we're both kind of going, what the heck?
There's some decent, like, I enjoy the upper deck. 523 row 4 is going for 175. It's not bad.
It's just one. It's a solo seat, right?
No, it's a two lot.
Really?
Do you want
him to send you the link?
Send me the link.
It's StubHub. He's got it. I mean,
I got a thing tomorrow.
Listen, it's
with the stuff.
You got a thing. I got a thing with some you people.
I always
recommend watching the game.
Public service announcement from At the Carm. You get better prices on.
So do you when you go
street.
To the game? Are you? Do you have press credentials?
I do. I am fortunate this playoff, or at least this series so far, that I am credentialed.
So where are your seats?
Well,
in the box,
it was actually kind of depressing today, if I may say so myself. I was sitting in the press box and they were lining up all the playoff seatings, and WGN, we have our seat in the press box but we don't have that seat come now. So it was like ripped off and given to somebody more important than us. We'll be in the left field corner, upper deck, upper.
Oh.
So it'll be...
Corner, upper deck, upper.
The last...
Is this somewhere by where Schwab's ball is?
The 500 level in the left field corner, so like 502.
So you're just in a regular seat.
Yep. They put some tables up there, and that's where the auxiliary press box is.
You get to feel the vibrations of the stadium when there's a homer.
Yeah, there's listen, awesome. there's no bad seat in there playoff time, and we're very happy to be covering the ball club, and we appreciate
thank you.
We appreciate the Chicago Cubs. So this listen,
we appreciate the Chicago Cubs
and their media relations department led by Peter Jason Carr.
Wow.
I just think it's very important for Cub fans to not be soft and to come in there and have a little fire, channel your
Why are you concerned about softness?
Because we have this weak
Yeah, we got very quiet during that Mets game last year, like in the the first second inning, we were already out.
I've seen it happen too many times when James Loney hit a grand slam in game 1 for the Dodgers and it went from a 2-0 Cubs lead to a 4-2 deficit. The place was like a morgue.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You had a rally. You had to buoy the players with energy and excitement.
I do think, and you call me weird.
Come on, Kotowski, you could be out there, Senator.
Oh, listen.
Buoy them.
I love the, first of all, the fact you used the word buoy, I'm just feeling myself in the water. I'm floating right now, up and down. But the thing is, that ballpark's not like that anymore. I mean, people don't give up. I mean,
that's true.
It's relentless. I mean, the energy in that place.
Right.
It is.
Well, but you know what? And this is just following them for the last decade since I've been in town. I mean, when I first got here, really, if they had a 2-0, if they were behind 2-0 in the fourth, people were leaving and said, okay, it's over. Now it's 2-0 in the eighth and people go, yeah, we can make this back. You have a team now that actually has some cojones and actually has some, it's a scrappy team. I mean, they don't give up, and so the crowd knows that.
Well, they got to speak Spanish. It's so awesome, isn't it?
There is a ton.
Muy caliente.
Ton of winners in there. I'll leave you with this last cup thought. I'll ask you guys a trivia question. Do you think it's more important that you have a starter with experience like John Lester in game 1 or a starter that's never pitched in the postseason like Kyle Hendricks in game 2?
I'm saying no experience actually probably serves better.
No experience?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I would go with the opposite.
Stan Kotowski?
I don't know. Yeah.
Starters actually fared best in their first career postseason start. We've had 107 such starts, and the pitchers combined for a 3.48 ERA.
Do you think part of that's adrenaline?
I just think, like, you know, for me, I don't know how you guys live your life, but when no one expects anything out of me, I do well.
Because it's the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? Right?
The soft bigotry of low expectations, exactly. That's the title of my book.
It's the title of your book. I think when you go in there, it's kind of like if you haven't played golf in a year and you play, it's your first time, you don't expect to do well, and you're hitting the heck out of the ball. And I think it's a lot like that. Guy gets out there, he's not expected to do well.
I expect to do some breaks. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Mark Carman, the Carm. You can follow him on Twitter, at the Carm. He's unloaded some science, some numbers. We are still trying to work out the graphs as to what all that information meant in the last. And you know what? I think that it's fitting that we have Belinda Chang in here to soften any sort of consumption of graphs and numbers and stats with some fantastic wines. Because you know what her philosophy is? She wants people who go to the restaurant Maple and Ash to leave with tears of joy.
I'm really happy that Belinda's here, and I made myself nauseous by reading all those stats, but I just wanted to get them out there for my own comfort, probably for no one else, and I thank you for giving me the forum, Patty.
Senator, you feel armed now?
Like therapy. Sometimes you just got to put it out there and let people see the nasty, ugly stuff, and it's not so scary anymore.
All right. So Scott, are you feeling the same way?
No. What the hell are you talking about, Dan?
It's because you haven't been to therapy, which is part of the problem.
Belinda Chang joins us in studio. She is the partner and director of wine and service at Maple and Ash. Are you a baseball fan?
I am a baseball fan. This has been really great for me. It's catch up. I've been nose down in the wine cellar just drinking. So I feel like I joined a good crew. You guys can let me know what's going on in the outside world.
We're more than happy to. Carmel will give you the stats, and Scott and Senator Kotowski will give you all the color. I think it's the color.
Love it.
Yes. Where are you from?
So I grew up in Chicago, and I've left this city and come back to this city four times, Houston to Chicago, San Francisco to Chicago, New York to Chicago. And I was in New York for the last 8 years. And I'm like, why am I in this city torturing myself? I just want to go home. So I've been back for the last year. We opened our restaurant last year on October 23rd, and it's been wild and awesome.
Oh, we've heard great things about Maple and Ash.
Thanks. We're right down the street. Yeah. We have you guys there all the time.
What led you into the field of, is it to be a sommelier?
Yeah. Oddly, I'm the one with the peg leg. I'm the one in the family that can drink the most.
I'm How does one discover that with family members?
You know how family is.
Yes.
But I laugh, you know, neither of my parents drink very much. So there's always that one weird, funky brown bottle of Lancers, that bubbly pink stuff that's a little, if you're of a certain age, you might remember this really weird wine. And it sat up in the top shelf of the refrigerator, I mean, for all of my formative years, probably from age 5 when I realized there was something crazy up there that I wasn't supposed to touch, you know. All the way up to when I could actually open it. So they were kind of teetotalers, but I love to drink. I mean, you know, you learn that a little bit in college and you move forward. And I fell in love with the sous chef in my college town, which was Houston, Texas, and got sort of sucked into the restaurant business like a lot of us do. And my parents paid for a really lovely education for me, you know, to send me to maybe medical school perhaps. So they were a little sad for a while. But then they realized that I was the one that could get all their friends the hard to get restaurant reservations. So
nice.
So here we are.
You've made up for it in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you go to culinary school as well?
I didn't. I have a degree in biochemistry. Really, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, you know, biologically, we are consuming something that has chemical.
We're all biochemists here. Supportive network.
There's like that one equation that I learned in college that I get to use every once in a while, that fermentation equation. So I know how the wine is made.
Don't make that sound like we all know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the equation again?
Time plus stuff.
Yeah. Alcohol.
Yay! So you have lived, you were mentioning Houston, New York. What was the other?
San Francisco. Yeah.
We're leaving San Francisco out of the conversation.
Okay. We're just going to nix it.
They've been heckling us, the San Francisco people are listening.
They're giving us a hard time.
Maureen Kirk, you know who you are.
How would you compare the consumption of wine, not necessarily the volume, but sort of the attitude toward wine in Chicago to those other places?
I just love it. I think it's super fun here. I think people here are the most open-minded drinkers, which as someone who plies their trade trying to get people to drink as much and as many different things as possible, it's really fun. You know, you're in San Francisco and they're all like, dude, you know, my neighbor owns this winery in Napa. So have you heard of this one?
Right.
And so, you know, they know, they kind of come in knowing exactly what they want. And New York, you know, I sold a lot of French wine. You know, there are a lot of expats kind of in that city and world travelers. But what I love about Chicago is everybody's kind of open to try anything. So I brought 6 different wines from different parts of the world for all of us to taste, drink, slug. You know, I'll be going from the bottle. You guys can have a glass to kind of show you some of the cool stuff that's going on in other parts of the world.
And what happens when someone comes into Maple and Ash and they start looking at the menu? And I'm guessing you also have the specific wine menu.
Yeah.
And people go through and they want, well, do we want a whole bottle for the table? Do we just want to order a glass? What kind of you know, choices do they have as far as being guided through that?
So, you know, it's a wineless gravitas moment, if you will. You know, if you've gone to that kind of stuffy, fancy restaurant where the sommelier that has a quadruple Windsor tie shows up with nose in the air and drops an 80-pound wine list in front of you and it's like, what are you thinking?
Right.
So ours is, you know, about 20 pages. We've got 600 selections on the wine list. Wow. So we've got like 10,000 bottles stored in-house.
What?
Yeah. So run down the street of the apocalypse comes and I've got a corkscrew and we can just wait it out.
That's quite a bomb shelter.
I like that. In our wine cellar. But I think it's really fun. You know,
what's the most expensive wine?
So $7,500 right now, but it's an 18-liter bottle. It's a Melchior. So it's 24 bottles in one of Rudd Cabernet, which is from Napa Valley. And we had Jake Arrieta in the other night. I'm like, if you guys win, we're opening this sucker. Yeah.
24 bottles in one?
In one. I mean, it's heavy. You'd have to buy it its own plane ticket if you wanted to fly it somewhere.
Oh, sure.
So
I'm guessing it's even heavier than a plane ticket, than that seat. The capacity. I mean, not the ticket, but I mean, like, what that person, how much is that? How much does that weigh?
Lots.
A bit. 24 bottles, right? Yeah. I don't, because it's also the glass.
Yeah.
That's two cases, right?
Yeah.
I don't...
Whoa, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe. And maybe so what is it, what is it okay, maybe a really
like?
Big kid.
What does it look like?
I mean, it's you know, it's as tall as me. I mean, you know, we walked this up and down the stairs before our elevator was working. It was quite a workout. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. How much sweating are people doing?
So, 70, so there's a one that's 7,500. It's 24 bottles in one, but what's the most expensive individual bottle?
Individual bottle? You know, some of the sweet wines that we have, just because they age for a really long time, we've got a bottle of Madeira from 1914, which I think is really cool. Those wines get better and better over time. They have a good bit of sugar in them and a good bit of alcohol, so they have a good punch when you have just a sip of it. So we have things like that too. And you know, a lot of people go to steakhouses and they think I'm just supposed to drink Cabernet and big reds, but we definitely have, you know, all kinds of Rieslings and all kinds of white wines and just a little bit of everything. So if you're a super wine geek, you can come and have fun. And you know what, if you don't give a you know, whatever.
A hoot.
we have all the options.
A monkey's butt. What do you think she would say?
This isn't cable radio, right?
Yeah. Dot.
I don't give a rat's, you know what?
And we all thought the same thing, a rat's, right. You can say rat's ass. Yeah.
Okay, rat's ass, got it, perfect. I'll put that in there. Well, yes. You know, it's a pretty irreverent place. We've got a tasting menu called I Don't Give a fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
oh, you were going to go even more. Okay.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that you can't say.
Okay.
So
got it.
If you were to take one bottle of wine with you and it's like, and you're like on a deserted island somewhere, it's the last bottle, what would you take?
I'm a champagne girl. People have accused me of being kind of bubbly. And I just think that if it's the last day on earth, you might as well drink something celebratory and go out with a bang. Wow. I love champagne very much.
I like sweeter. I don't know if it's a champagne. I always like a bubbly sweet.
Yeah, definitely. Moscato d'Asti. There's Prosecco. Hello. So many great wines in
Moscato's
that category.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Can you, what are you going to pour for the guys first?
So
Scott's,
I have a
Carm,
little bubbly.
All right.
Speaking of. So this one is from a winery in New Mexico, of all places.
Oh, wow.
And this family is from Champagne, France, and they're using all the same methods that you use to make champagne. Ready?
Ooh, she's gonna pop it.
Here's the money.
Here we go.
Here's the money moment.
Hello.
Delicious. So this is in the category of wines that taste like they're really blingy, but you can definitely get at a decent bargain. So champagne.
Smell it, sir.
Smell it.
Nose all the way.
That's not so aggressive. He's just gonna pass it over to Carm.
This is like Well, Fraser Thomas, smell it, sir.
There you go.
You went straight. Smell it, sir. No, you called me sir. Is what happened.
Because you're a senator. I'm not gonna call Carm sir. It's his Carm.
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome. Cheers. It's all weird. It got very strange. Cheers to you all. We'll take a quick break here as they toast the beginning of the Chicago Cubs in the playoffs 2016.
Go
more
Cubs.
On 720
Cubs.
WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune. And we won't hold that against him. We also have...
Thank you.
That whole day when the Chicago Tribune endorsed Gary Johnson, how was your email, like your voicemail?
I was happy, first of all, because I've mentioned him in my comic strip, Prickly City, for months. And so I was getting emails from all over the country saying, this has your fingerprints all over it.
I did not. Did you notice I was very quiet?
You're nice.
I thought that you would be happy. I was happy for you. I didn't say congratulations. We were hoping to see you that night, but you were noticeably absent from the show. You had to do the artwork for the Cubs, I believe.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, I have to show that to you. Yeah. By the way, it's coming out tomorrow morning. It looks fantastic.
My 90-year-old father, Fred Carman, wrote a letter to the editor about the Tribune endorsing Gary Johnson. He was not pleased.
No?
He was very upset, and then he sent that along to his sons for all of us to read.
I know a retired computer programmer that hails from Mexico that may or may not have discontinued her subscription. Senator,
there goes that's a 30% drop in our circulation. Damn it.
I'm going to do a Google search on that right now.
Retired programmer.
For the Railroad Retirement Board. I missed you that day, and I wanted to say how exciting that must have been.
I was stunned. I was frankly, because I'd written an editorial in very similar to what we had written because I was going to be out of town that day.
Yeah.
And during the endorsement.
I can't look at him with a straight face.
Very similar to what was written. I've written an editorial. It was very similar to what was written.
No, there was.
Now we know who's got the juice at the editorial board.
No, I don't. That's the funniest part of all of this.
I wish you'd been here for all of our political conversations, Belinda. I think the wine should have been flowing since the very beginning of
It's working, is it?
Yeah. It's working its magic.
This is the first time I've seen the senator have any cocktails at all.
That is the first time I've seen you drink.
See?
You don't drink.
A sip. He just had a sip.
No, now it's a completely... I'm going to need some help. I've been thinking about world leaders, and I can't name one.
No, ones that you admire.
No, wasn't the question. Ones,
ones that you admire.
Name one you admire.
No, but here's the thing. That was,
Barack Obama.
No. But here's the thing. What was that guy, the last guy? Not the president of Mexico now, the other one. That was...
Right, the past president. Like Vincente Fox is what he was trying to remember.
Yes. Carm, how are you doing? You were enjoying some of that lobster roll from Maple and Ash that Belinda has, has shared with us in studio.
It's really, it's a treat to be here right now. I'm not going to lie.
I looked Maple over and there was this look of just pure joy on your face.
Well, and manias.
I didn't want to say that. I almost said that. Thank you, Belinda.
That's happiness. Happiness is a little mayonnaise.
I did see it dripping a little bit.
Eating neatly is severely overrated. Getting it all over you is the way to go.
I agree. Get all in it.
That was, and I love a good lobster roll, and that was like, whoa, all of a sudden we got lobster rolls. That was amazing.
Lobster roll.
Oh, this is beautiful. Scott is showing me the artwork that he has created for the front page. Is this the front page of the sports section?
Tomorrow morning.
Congratulations. Yeah, that is fantastic.
Isn't that cool?
I don't know if I'm supposed to describe it.
Here. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bunch of little cubs trying to climb
the
pole to get
the should all see it.
You should all see it.
No, more importantly, you should go buy it.
Go buy it.
Go buy it. Yeah, I don't want to tell them about it. They have to buy it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Please.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
That cool? That's fun. That was a fun piece to draw.
Belinda mentioned before the break that Jake Arrieta was eating at Maple and Ash.
He was.
So if he does
and
well,
he signed
we can
my ceiling.
Does that sound
odd?
I was about to say it.
Is that a metaphor?
I was about to say it, and I didn't say it.
You know what he did? He signed my ceiling. And he signed it hard, and he signed it good.
Okay.
Oh, take it easy there.
We had it. We understood where you were going.
Jesus.
The wine cellar. The ceiling of the wine cellar.
Are there other autographs on the ceiling of your wine cellar?
Not yet.
Did he just look up? Did you ask him to?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, I was going to say, how low is the ceiling?
It's not that low. Yeah. And he didn't have to use the step stool that I usually use.
Seriously.
He's a big boy.
Ceiling.
It's getting better.
Senator, you should go sign.
Yeah, Senator, you could come sign the ceiling,
yes,
too.
You.
Yeah,
sure, there I will. See? I look forward to it.
Signature number two.
We and Senator, you're
They're
enjoying.
Like, who's that guy? Kahoo?
Kahoo?
Kapowski? Yeah.
Janczakowski.
You know what? She used to get, before I became a senator, she would get my phone calls. When Ann and I were dating, Ann's my wife, and we were dating, Ann would call up because Congressman Schakowsky and I stayed at the same hotel, and they would send the calls that were supposed to be for me to Jan. And she'd pick up the phone, and mom says, "Is this Dan Katowski's room?" She's like, "No, it's Jan Schakowsky." Then she'd see me the next day. Some woman called for mail. I was like, "That was my girlfriend. I'm so sorry." But that kind of forts our relationship. Yeah, thank you for laughing. You're the only one laughing.
It's great.
Sorry, sounded like a good idea to tell the story.
They still want
wow,
your
that was a cricket.
The they still want
story.
Your signature on the ceiling. On the roof. They actually don't want it on the ceiling. They want it on top of the
Yours
building.
Yours goes on the roof.
Where no one can see
it. I was like, wow, maybe he shouldn't sign the ceiling. That was a really bad story. Seemed like a good guy. And a terrible story.
Does she still get mad at you? Does she just crank call you in the middle of the night and just like, hey,
she does.
Hey, Jan Schakowsky?
She calls me.
Oh, no.
Late at night.
Late at night.
Are you up?
Hey,
I know
Carm,
somebody used to do that.
Carm, how is your lobster roll over there?
My lobster roll is delicious. The hot dog, foie de gras, whatever I just ate was also delicious. Great fries. The individual little ketchup things here, I got to say, that's a big thumbs
up. Do you have the little bottles?
They have little boats
of ketchup.
I mean, just everything's top notch. I've never had food brought in. You get a cloth napkin.
Food
I mean, this
brought
is unbelievable.
You linens, too. Only the finest.
I know. It's usually for Rose Show that they get like all the silverware and stuff. But Linda decided that late night is also special. special.
We're bumping it up.
Yeah,
we're
thank you.
Bumping it up for you. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is clearly right now, it's all coming to focus. The Cubs are going to win the World Series.
You're feeling a lot better about it. Yeah. Let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, a little more with Belinda. Well, a lot more with Belinda, because we've got six more bottles of wine.
We've got a lot of wine to go through.
So much more wine. You're listening Pretty Late. Just a moment on 720 WGN. Carm has left the studio. He has fled for his life because there was so much great food. I think that he was overwhelmed by by delight. Belinda Chang joins us. She is the partner and director of Wine and Service at Maple and Ash. And we also have Senator Dan Katowski in studio with us. We're going to talk some more about the wine pairings and the great food. Scott Santis also enjoying the white Bordeaux
fun.
That she has poured for you.
It's lovely. You smelled my Bordeaux.
I smelled your Bordeaux. I smelled your white Bordeaux. Rob Martier, come down and join us for some on the way out, please.
Yes.
There's some sauce. I'm not sure what it is, but it tasted very good on your
It's
fries.
Marvelous. This whole thing, the food was amazing.
There's all
best
kinds
sauce ever.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we are thrilled to welcome our brand new best friend, Belinda Chang, who is the director. She's a partner and director of wine and service at Maple and Ash. Where is Maple and Ash located?
We're right down the street in the Gold Coast. So if you've heard of a place called Gibson's, and I know millions of people have heard of that steakhouse, we're the steakhouse across the street.
How bizarre is that? You know that one steakhouse that you know? We're the one across the street.
We're the newer one.
Newer one. Senator?
I'm going to try to redeem myself from my previous story. So when I campaigned, I would say, I live in a house where there's all the Spanish-style houses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a house on the corner. It's this huge house with a tower. And I would tell people, I said, I live on the street with a huge house. It's a huge house with a tower. And they're like, oh, yeah, is that your house? I'm like, no.
No.
Mine's a little one right next to it. So thanks. Redemption. I'm out of here.
Drop the mic.
Congratulations.
I'm writing in the top of the ceiling of the cellar tomorrow.
You know what you need for that? You need a Bitmoji with a mic drop right there.
That was it.
Bye-bye.
That was it.
Yeah. Can we talk about cartoon emojis?
We will later. Right. I'm just teasing him. He told me earlier today he doesn't like them, so I couldn't stop sending him Bitmojis.
Very upsetting. My therapist,
I'm going to send
really
you one right now while we're in studio.
The therapist I'm referring to, Scott, was really...
I've got my Gary Johnson Bitmoji.
Scott, how are you liking your white Bordeaux?
Bordeaux. It so much it's empty.
Uh-oh.
Oh, let's move on to the next one.
No,
really
I'm saving
quick.
Room for some of the others.
We've got more.
We got wine galore here. We have an embarrassment of wine.
This is biblical. This is really biblical.
It is biblical because there was wine in the
Bible.
Like,
all of a sudden there was nothing and there's like loaves and fishes everywhere. And,
the
I mean,
food, by
really.
The way, that you brought. A hot dog. Tell me about that hot dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Was ridiculous.
So, we're in Chicago, right? So you got to do an epic hot dog. So that is Vienna beef. So all American, all Chicago. It's wrapped in bacon and then given a quick little, dash of fun in the fryer. And then we serve it with medallions of foie gras and black truffle. And then in the condiment container that came with that one was a cognac mustard sauce that you pour over.
That's
top.
What that was. I thought it was something
I
heavenly.
I knew it was that.
I knew it was cognac.
So that was the blind tasting portion of this evening.
It was either Dr. Pepper mustard sauce or cognac mustard sauce.
How do you say
cognac? Cognac? Cognac.
Nevada. Belinda, are you familiar with the rally that Trump was at today?
And yes.
He corrected Nevadians? Nevadians? What do they say then if they're not Nevadians?
Gamblers.
Retirees. Stranded. We call them stranded.
Oh, no.
Seniors.
How do you say it, by the way? Do you say Nevada?
Cognac?
No.
Cognac. I said it the right way.
That is the most diplomatic answer I've ever heard.
Cognac.
Cognac. Cognac.
Cognac.
Cognac West. He's a great performer.
When you, when someone wants to pick a wine to go with their meal, we have the idea that you drink white with fish, or with chicken, as you have also brought tonight, some wonderful chicken.
I think we did kind of the Terminator pairings first up, lead batter tonight. So I brought this sparkling wine from New Mexico called Gruet, and the name of this particular wine is Sauvage. So I love wines that are about a little bit of S&M, right? It's late night. We can talk about that a little bit. So.
A little pain and pleasure, sir. She means pain and pleasure.
Most sparkling wine, they add a little bit of sugar. Most sparkling wine, they add a little bit of sugar to, and they add no sugar to this one. So it just is like rips the enamel off your teeth in the best way, and you love it. It's like being beat. And so that was the first wine that we had.
She's my new favorite person on the planet. Yeah. I will sign her ceiling anytime.
So that was a fun sparkling wine you can find out there. You know, I buy a lot of my wines at Mariano's because they've got a great selection there. And so that was a good one. And then the second one we poured, which I think is also a great food wine, is white Bordeaux. This one's from a chateau called Graville-Lacoste. You can call it Graville-Lacoste, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty delicious. So it was a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon. And I love that everything in French sounds sort of lovely when we're talking about wine.
It does sound lovely.
You know?
And I listen to you talk all night long about it.
So they say sometimes Sauvignon Blanc can smell like cat pee, which in English doesn't sound great, but in French is pipi du chat, which sounds really lovely.
Pipi du chat. Pipi du chat. Sounds like a chat. Sounds like he's a concert singer from the 1920s. Pipi concert.
Any relation to Pepe Le Pew?
We love it.
Distant cousin.
So I think that was the wine for the lobster roll, right? That white Bordeaux with, you know, this creamy mayonnaise-y delicious sauce dripping out of your
it's
the sides
lobster
of your mouth.
Earl. Lobster Earl.
Lobster Earl. Like, love it. Nice. And then I have another one. Should we keep going?
Yes, please. I'm boozing them up. I have it. I'm drinking Pellegrino.
I have to walk home.
So I've got a little Chardonnay next, a Petit Chablis from Defay. So all of these you can find in the store for under $20. So you can definitely impress your friends, you know, with your knowledge of Pipi du Chat and S&M Sauvage wines from New Mexico.
These are the best descriptions ever.
But I think these are a lot of fun.
All right.
So this one's a little Chablis.
She's good with the sound effects. She's not new to radio.
No, not
even a little bit.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Look at, he's whipping around, whipping that French thing out.
Whipping that French thing out. There you go.
Getting my French on.
There you go, whipping it out.
Get your French on. Before we take a break, I would love to smell it.
I would love to smell this. Now, which one is this I'm smelling?
So this one's Chablis.
Oh, that is
from a producer called Bernard Dufay. And this is the classic thing that you would have with oysters or any of the great shellfish we have at the restaurant. And if you put your nose in, it kind of smells like shellfish, like it's kind of sea salty almost because of the soils that they grow.
It has
the Chardonnay
a buttery finish, though.
Buttery finish for sure. Well done.
Yeah.
You could write wine descriptions for a living. Oh. This cartoonist thing doesn't pan out.
Yeah, because God knows.
Scott gets a gold star.
I can hear the ocean, too, if you put it close to your ear.
There you go.
This is lovely. Now, where's this from?
So it's from Burgundy, France.
God.
Where all the whites are made from Chardonnay, and this is called Chablis, which is a big kind of marketing infringement problem, and it was for many years, because if you drank those big jugs of Chablis from the grocery store back in the day, that wasn't the real Chablis. Chablis is an actual region in the north of France where they make these beautiful wines from Chardonnay, and I love them. You know, when you go to the steakhouse and give that big shellfish platter, this is the perfect thing to drink with it.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Before we take a break, we're going to go to another wine. But first, we're going to say hi to Peachy and wish her a happy birthday. Hi, Peachy. Happy birthday.
Peachy.
Happy, happy birthday, Peachy. Huh?
Thank you. Got a question. That wine that Peachy loves, shouldn't it be wee wee? No, sorry.
That's okay. You know what? Everyone raise your glass.
Warp sense of humor. I'm 45.
Oh, happy birthday. That's a perfect time to have a warp sense of humor. Everyone raise your glass and a toast to Peachy on your birthday.
Happy
have a great
birthday.
Night, Peachy.
Cheers,
thank you for calling in.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
More after this on 720 WGN. Pence.
I gotta jump in. Gotta jump in. I'm Kane.
No, Pence. But
wait, you're up.
I'm not gonna defend my candidate's policies at all. Like, I can't. They're indefensible. That's why I'm not gonna say anything about them.
He was. I will say this as
it doesn't matter.
D. He was a little amped.
Oh, my Kane gosh.
Was a little amped.
Oh my God. How many?
Here's the thing. It paid off though. Because here, you know what what trended after the debate?
Yeah, the guy didn't defend his guy.
That Mexican thing.
The Mexican.
That Mexican thing trended. So
poking at him. It was both.
It was both.
And I was surprised that when they had that.
Sorry, Belinda. Belinda's like, here, have some more wine.
I was surprised when they had the group of people undecided, and they're like, all raise their hand. Majority raise their hands, and they thought that Kane had won the debate.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that.
That was on CNN. They had a group of undecided. Wow.
Look, just because you're annoyed by him doesn't mean that he didn't have more substance than the other guy.
No, I'm coming back to what I've mentioned on the show before. Listen to his tone, not his words.
Right.
And I thought that Pence was a revelation. He did terrific.
He never said that. He didn't say that. He was like Wonder Woman deflecting bullets.
But he may have been, but he was doing it in a way that
set him up for 2020.
Yeah.
He had an excellent.
Yeah, that's,
listen,
but that wasn't his role.
Here's what I'll agree with. Excellent, folksy,
Yes.
A cool style. But here's the thing. He was supposed to be in this position of defending the person.
Oh, he couldn't. Yeah, he just like
and he didn't. No, and that's like, it's almost like you're in a boxing match. You're like, all right, I'm going to get hit, and then I'm going to take some swings. And some of them seem like they were half-hearted swings back. And I just think if you're in that position, and this is what I was surprised by, that people had said, like, I don't know why he didn't defend his guy. And he didn't. And I will say
a lot of instances he did.
And he did do a good job of going after, a better job of going after Hillary Clinton than the guy at the top of the ticket. He did do a better job. But the issue is like, look, I mean, I think this is Kane's first opportunity to be on this stage. And I think he was really amped. And I didn't think it served him well as a guy who supports, you know, who's a Democrat who supports. I didn't think it served him well to interrupt as much. I didn't think he had to.
No.
I didn't think he had to. But he had a job to do. And I think his job was to try. And he didn't do it as well as he could have. But I agree. What a lot of people have said. I watched Pence and I thought, oh, this guy's got a cool folksy demeanor. He's got sort of this Roy Rogers deal going on, you know, this Indiana thing.
Well, he's got the Reagan thing going, which I'm not sure that was a mistake.
So this red wine you poured, Belinda. No.
I was just going to say cognac.
That's how you say it. Sir.
Cognac?
Cognac.
What did I say?
I don't know. It's teasing.
Did I say cognac? Cognac.
I don't know what you said, but I know
did
what
I go
heard.
Rogers Park on it?
You might have gone a little Rogers Park on it.
It's okay. Proud of my roots.
It's good.
So when you are introducing wines to clients or customers, do you typically start with whites to sort of educate them along the way? Is there a progression?
I think it's really nice to start with whites because you always kind of want to drink lightest to richest, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to leave a lot of room for people to try a lot of different things. So I think that's a really good way to do it. So we started with sparkling.
Is it lightest to richest because of the way in which your body absorbs it?
Yeah. If you think about it, you know, when you do that tasting menu situation in a fancy restaurant, they always do kind of the more delicate, simpler dishes first, and then they build up to the big red meat and then the big chocolate dessert.
Patty was just transported to her happy place.
Did she shove my nose all up in your wine?
Yeah.
Good thing
we love it.
There's a nose mark on your glass.
I know,
can't drink.
Good thing we waxed there. Yeah. Nice.
It goes back faster than you think it does.
Well,
oh
I
my
love
God.
This
no,
wine.
Are you kidding?
So this one's called... We should let Belinda know we had him waxed on the air. He lost several bets to me, and he had to have one thigh, one armpit waxed, and also his back.
Fantastic.
And then Craig and Scott and I, we all had our noses, the insides of our noses waxed.
Simultaneously.
No,
simultaneous
waxing.
But on the air.
How long to grow back for the nose?
The nose hair? I would say about 2 weeks.
Oh, no, I'm like, this afternoon, this is more information. There's something tickly. I go, oh, bink. And this thing is like 5 inches long. I go, oh my God.
Yeah,
I can't grow it on the back of my head. But
it's grown. They've grown in violently,
yes.
I would say.
Yeah. It's tried violently.
Violent growth.
They have a life of their own. Right?
Aggressive.
Very aggressive. It's like, oh, you're not
chasing
us away.
They shall not be denied.
Yeah. Near cantankerous.
So what are we drinking?
My nose hair is all up in his
I don't know
wine.
How to follow that.
We need our friend to call from last week, the toilet flusher. We need her to call. She was great, by the way. You missed her.
I'm sorry.
All right, then. Okay. So,
cognac. Back to the wine.
She's good.
Cognac.
She's going to be a monthly regular. Case of wine.
Tommy Cognac was a friend of mine.
So, this one is from a great friend of mine. His name is Seth Koonin, and he's in California, down in Southern, in SoCal. And he makes these great wines that are inspired by the Rhone Valley in France. And so this one's almost all Grenache. So we were talking about the senator and I, you know, what's a great red wine for somebody who's just sort of starting off? And I love Pinot Noir, right? It's juicy and fruity and it smells like cherries and raspberries. And Grenache is a grape that's pretty similar. So Grenache usually makes this famous wine called Châteauneuf du Pape. And he names this one kind of in jest Pop Star. So it's a Grenache-based blend that I think, you know, that foie gras hot dog, that burger that we brought for you guys, that roasted chicken.
That's already gone.
I think
some of the besides knife and tine, I think this is the fastest food has flown out of the boxes.
Impressive. This is an impressive crew.
Yeah.
So I love this kind of light style of red wine with just about about everything. I mean, and you'd mentioned earlier doing white wine with fish and red wine with meat, but you can do a light red wine with fish. No problem. This would be amazing with
and poultry.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Even a, like a more delicate veal dish, I think would be fantastic with this wine too. So it's just an easy peasy kind of light style of red that I think for fall. I mean, we're going to get into that eventually, I think, in Chicago. So
what do you have like with a burger? What do you have?
Everything. I think this wine with
depends
the
on what's open
great.
In the fridge.
Yeah, the burger we brought you guys is from the restaurant from 8 Bar, and it's a double burger with cheese and caramelized onions and a little bit of that mayo because we love to put that on everything.
But what's the wine you'd have with it?
I love this one. This Grenache that we're tasting from Kunin, I think, would be really fantastic. Like a light red. You don't need anything too serious.
She has so many more bottles.
There's more bottles. We're not through with you yet.
No, we're gonna take a break here and invite a couple more guests in to help us with these bottles of wine. We have Katie Nixon and Molly Reiner in the green room right now. And we don't. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Well, when they get here, we will definitely offer them some wine. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've been hanging out with Scott Santis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Belinda Chang, who is the partner and director of wine and service at Maple and Ash over there at Maple and State.
Maple and State.
And we have Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe. Go to childserve.org to find out how you can help at-risk children live better, happy, and healthy
lives.
Why
is there no E at the end of serve?
Because the work isn't done yet.
The work is so not done yet, not even close. And thank you again to Mattress Firm.
I got a half smile from Molly there. So, you know, it's really funny.
It was condescending.
It was only
pitying, but okay.
Wow.
I'm
feeling some really good energy.
Did you want me to lie? I don't know.
We
happening.
Need some good energy. Where did it go?
It's a wine smile. Joining us in the studio are Katie Nixon and Molly Reiner, who are the stars of stars, writers, directors, producers, all of it, I'm guessing, for Smokin' Hot Brains.
Yay. Yes, we are.
Yay.
Jill Valentine's our director for this show.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah. Jill Valentine?
Jill
director.
Valentine.
Excellent.
JV. Awesome director.
Thank you, Jill. We have Smokin' Hot Brains opening this Saturday at Stage 773. People can go to stage773.com for ticket information. Running for the rest of the month, for all of October.
Yes, ma'am. Saturday's Yay. In October. Woohoo!
Yeah. So what, first of all, welcome to our wine night.
Thank you.
Studio.
We're here.
By the way, our guests are driving, riding Lyft yes. and or walking home.
Correct.
So
yes.
we're all covered.
Yes.
So tell us about putting this show together that's opening at Stage 773.
Yeah. So this show has been interesting. Katie and I really wanted to dig deep into our brains. And
you found Smokin' Hot.
And we found some Smokin' Hot brains.
They're still Smokin' Hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So this show kind of incorporates those little voices that you hear inside your head. And
there's so many. How do you separate them?
It's hard.
I mean, like, so difficult.
No, really.
Well, that's part of what we talked about was how do you deal with, like, the voice of fear in your head or some of these scary things. And a tactic Molly uses is to give it a character, to give it a funny voice so your fear is no longer something to be scared of. It's something to laugh at.
What does your fear sound like?
My fear sounds like this. Hello, everybody listening to me on WGN Radio.
And that way you can't be afraid of it. Yeah. It's so goofy.
Fear sounds like Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah. Keep pruning, Jimmy. Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, listening to your head or your heart. And, you know, it's trying to make that all funny and relatable to everybody.
And you guys do. Every time I've seen you, I mean, there's whether or not it's it seems like gibberish and yet it's understandable or it's poignant or hardcore. When I say that they're obviously you're women, so do you tell people that we do feminist humor or I don't know how, because that can be sort of a negative to people. I don't know why.
There's that weird thing, or like, why do you need to separate that we're a female duo?
Right.
It's like, why not? I don't know. I enjoy celebrating that. And certainly, even if it's not stated outright, I think there's just a feminist streak through everything we do.
If it's a guy group, you know, and they do, what is the opposite? If it's not feminist, it's everything else?
Misogynist?
What just happened?
The opposite of feminist.
I don't know, but... Everyone has a different word. Everyone had a different word.
My goodness.
She said that. That's right.
I heard it.
Well, someone said misogynist. You said the misogynist. What would be a maleist or a menist?
Menist.
What's it? Menist? Interrupters.
Well, that's the cool thing about feminism, though. Here I go on my soapbox. It's not just about uplifting women. It's about kind of unshackling everyone from gender expectations and all the terrible things. Like, there's that great documentary on Netflix that just came out about toxic masculinity and how that's so harmful to young men, how they can't express their feelings or you know, work through those things. Like, I'm, you know, so grateful to have a best friend to talk about all my feelings with. So.
Well, I mean, because I've been doing stand-up comedy for a long time. And, you know, when I started, if you said you were a feminist, like, the room would just shut down, right? And it's so much, the conversation is just much more open now. We didn't talk about catcalling and how, you know, stop telling us to smile. And actually, Esmeralda's not in the traffic room right now, but she posted a great article, and I guess there's a piece in Playboy about whether or not you should catcall. The chart, it all pretty much all leads to no.
Yeah.
And, but there, you know, when you see an article on Facebook, there'll be links to other things. And apparently there was a woman in the turn of the century, like around the late 1800s. She was visiting New York from Kansas, and this guy was like trying to get in her personal space. She took out one of her hat pins and stabbed him with it. And I was like, that's how you do. That's how you do with catcalling. So we, I don't know, I just think there's so much more conversation now.
But I also think there's this perception out there. There's a whole group of men who don't even like, there's people who are do things the way they've always been done. And there's a group of men are out there who actually talk to each other about what they feel.
Right.
And they're comfortable with it.
Definitely.
And so, you know, it's interesting, like raising two boys and getting them to talk about, all right, let's take a step back here. I know you're furious. How do you feel?
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm terrible. So, but no, really.
Well, but because
take a step back.
Take a step back. Yeah. Well, because when we talk about catcalling, men get defensive as though we're all talking about all men. Right. But we are actually talking about all women. That's why we say that, because it has happened to all of us. Mm-hmm. But we're not saying all men. We're saying this is what happens to us. And could you please be a part of the solution and not ignore it and not dismiss it and not make us feel worse for saying something about it, even though you are not the one doing it. The ones that are ruining it for you.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, your show's opening.
Yes.
Comedy. Wine. What wine are we on now?
Dolcetto.
It's good.
We stained our teeth purple.
Really? Maybe that's why the conversation veered in that direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
So purple, it's from a producer named Paolo Scavino. And we love it. This is pizza wine.
Pizza wine.
All the way.
See, and that's sometimes I go into a sense, all I want is pizza wine.
Yeah.
You know? Are like, my mom likes... I can't remember what the kind. It's like she loves drier wines with her pizza.
Yeah, Sangiovese or Chianti, maybe something
that
like
was
that.
Brunello. She loves Chianti with her pizza.
Fabulous in that old wicker basket bottle that we all love to put candles in and have
lit order pizza.
Pizza. Here's some fries.
That's okay.
Don't worry, we'll have it sent from Maple and Ash.
All right, that's so appealing.
Get some fries.
There's some cognac mustard in there.
I'm still stunned that you remember the Lancers bottle.
Anyone remember that?
Seriously, it was bought in 1909, and they were going to open it to celebrate the next Cubs World Series championship.
Aww.
And so every house I grew up in had that one. Lancers. It's like
on the
stone,
top shelf in the refrigerator.
It's like ceramic bottle.
Yeah.
That's bizarre that you mentioned it. It's like brought back happy memories.
I wasn't familiar with that, lady. So are you familiar with that bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
bottle. None of you are as old enough to remember.
It's OG. It's
wine
OG.
Bottle.
That's it looks medicinal.
It does. I'm like, that looks like some old-time apothecary business.
When you're saying OG, you meant original gangster, right?
Yeah.
Yes. OG.
Made by monks.
We've welcomed Molly Rayner and Katie Nixon, who are the writers and stars of Smokin' Hot Brains, opening at Stage 7. Go to stage773.com for ticket information. And what time is the showtime?
7:30.
And you do music and comedy and sketch. Do you jump out in the audience?
Of course.
I know you do.
Of course.
Very interactive.
Interactive
show.
Horseplay.
We have to bring the horseplay.
Of course.
When we come back, I saw that there was is it a ukulele you brought
it
with
is,
you?
Yes.
Let's hear some music from
awesome.
Our talented performers, Molly Rayner and Katie Nixon, the stars of Smokin' Hot Brains. We also have Scott Stantis. Go to chicagotribune.com/Stantis and also take a look at the Prickly City.
Yeah.
What's going on in Prickly City?
They're still working for Gary Johnson, and then we're talking about Hillary.
So they're a little lost these days.
No, they're
at the drive-thru.
You got to give me credit for making fun of them, because I spend many weeks doing that. now. It's become a career.
Yeah, here's your credit.
And Belinda Chang has been plying us with wine, and we have more to come. She has she's the partner and director of wine and service at Maple and Ash, which is at Maple and State.
It is.
Is it a steakhouse?
It is. It's steakhouse on the third floor, and then we have a bar and patio with 100 seats outside. I think we have, what, two more days?
I don't know. This is a pretty spectacular. It's going to be in the 60s even on Sunday. It's really a gorgeous night tonight. I loved it tonight. Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe, go to childserve.org. Leave the E off because their
work is not done yet.
We have more work to do. Just own it. Don't chuckle when you say
that. We have more work to do.
You have so much more work to do.
We do. We have a lot of work to do.
I was saying earlier that we want to continue to thank Mattress Firm for participating and providing so much of the backpacks.
Mattress Firm has been able to provide clothes and backpacks and funding support for our kids who are at risk so they can lead better lives and reach their potential. Great, wow, great company. Great. Very cool.
More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Tell us this music. And we have a pair of tickets to see Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773. 312-981-7200. Tell me the artist that has made this music. 312-981-7200. All of my guests in studio are perplexed.
Is this an 80s group?
I'm not telling you any hints. 312-981-7200. Whose music is this? For a pair of tickets to see Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773. I'm just going to play for... I'll play it again. I'll just play it real low under us. 312-981-7200.
Are there words?
You can call or... I'm sure there are, but the cut that I have does not have words. Okay. So that we don't run into any trouble.
Worms. I'm afraid worms,
of worms, Roxanne.
Charlie. I'm afraid of worms.
Joining us in studio is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, who is still just floating on air because the Tribune has endorsed Gary Johnson as the logical.
As the Detroit News, as have about another dozen other news.
Dozen? Yes. A dozen?
About a dozen papers.
About five. I think it was like five.
No, it's almost a dozen.
The Stantis Times, they endorsed as well.
Scott Stantis, hallucination.
Hourly. The Stantis is hourly.
Scotty's periodical.
Scott's a bit of a Gary Johnson fan.
Yes, I feel the Johnson.
That's fine.
Totally feel the Johnson.
Yeah, well, a little too much.
A little too much. And Belinda Chang joins us. She is the partner and director of Wine and Service. Brought us amazing food and drink from Maple and Ash. How many bottles of wine do you have in that cellar?
10,000.
Oh. 10,000.
I only brought six. We can keep it moving, though.
Yeah.
We can have it Ubered or lifted over if needed.
We can go sign the ceiling.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta. You're signing the ceiling, sir? All right. Senator Dan Katowski, who is the CEO of ChildServe. Go to childserve.org and find out how you can help families and children at risk. And we also have Molly Rayner and Katie Nixon, who are starring in, they've written a brand new show called
Smokin' Hot Brains, a cerebral sketch comedy show.
We like words.
Words are good. And you have some music for us.
Yes, we do.
I shall shut off everyone's microphones except yours to make this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, here with some music.
Hey, partner.
Hey, partner. You ready?
I'm ready.
Giddy up. All right. We text first thing in the morning.
And right before bed.
We're emergency contacts.
She'll call if I'm dead.
She comes to family Christmas.
She loves to visit temple. And if we're both hormonal, we pop each other's pimples. We do everything together. I love you till forever. Partners, partners, we do everything. Oh, oh. But that we go to the same dentist,
so we're free from plaque.
We lend each other money,
thanks for paying me back.
We wear the same clothes,
well, just that one pair of sweats.
We fart around each other, sounds like Air Force jets. We do everything together. I love you till forever. Partners, partners, we do everything. Oh yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. But that. She likes to cook me dinner.
She gets me pad thai.
She hates the men I hate.
Yeah, I'll flip off that guy.
Her mama sends me tote bags.
Her bro gets me weed.
We write each other letters and sync up when we bleed. We do everything together. I love you till forever. Partners. Partners, we do everything. but that. We could get married, wouldn't that be a kick? But it's a different kind of love, and we both like men with jobs. We do everything together, I love you till forever. Partners, partners, we do everything.
Everything.
Come on!
Oh God, come on,
finish! Finish! But that.
Smoking Hot Brains, Katie Nixon and Molly Rayner live in the Allstate Showcase studio. They're opening their show. What's the entire title?
Smoking Hot Brains, a cerebral sketch comedy show.
I just turned the camera. Live? You're Facebook Live right
Facebook
now.
Facebook Live. Yes.
Madness in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I only got it in the middle of the song, so I apologize to
That's
those.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I should totally be videoing this right now, and I should probably stop so I can concentrate on the show in front of me. By the way, we want to say hello to Carissa Schaefer from Knife and Tyne, who I know just checked in on the Facebook Live and is listening to the show. And we have in studio with us Belinda Chang,
Hi.
Who is the partner and director of Wine and Service at Maple and Ash. She's brought some food and wine, and we've been enjoying that tonight as well as wonderful music and comedy from Smoking Hot Brains. How long have you guys worked together?
Woof, 3 years?
Yeah, three years.
You sound exhausted.
Woof! Woof! Patty, it feels like lifetime.
somebody get him a cigarette.
Partners,
Woof! Jeez.
Now, how often, because during one of the breaks, we were sharing our emojis, our bitmojis with each other.
Bitmojis.
Senator Katowski earlier today, I asked him about coming in tonight, and we were talking about what we were going to discuss, and I sent him a bitmoji that said, it had a little sign that said yes. And he goes, can we talk about that? Because I really hate those. And then I proceeded to just send bitmoji after bitmoji. I'm still sending them during the show.
I've contacted the authorities.
Why don't you like bitmojis?
I don't know. It feels kind of creepy.
Because you haven't figured out how to do yours?
Yeah.
I have figured it out.
The Telly Savalas one just,
I just
wasn't available.
I just don't want to share it. First of all, it's more Vin Diesel than Telly Savalas.
Oh.
Sure, let's
Thank
go with that.
You. Yeah, okay. Neutralized you.
I'd go for Kojak.
You ran circles around me rhetorically.
See, we got to have I don't know. Like, I know you, and then I see the cartoon. I'm like, that's really not like her. She's different, kind of weird.
I typically don't send a bitmoji until someone sends me one. If they send me one, then I'm like, oh, okay, we're doing the bitmoji thing. Okay. But I was tired, and I was like, I just thought I was going to be flip, and then you didn't like it, and it made me laugh.
I know. They kept coming, and I was kept getting more irritated. They were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, nothing. I don't want to talk about emojis.
He's bitmojiing me.
Yeah. So,
to pieces. Yeah. How many people bitmoji you?
There's a couple.
A couple.
It just started. There's a couple. There's a lot. But it just started to, like, bother me, you know? Mm. Like, people are sending the red pants people. There's, like, red pants emojis, you know?
Red pants?
Wait, what? They send, like, there's this whole red pants movement. Have you followed this?
Where are the RPPs?
No. Yeah, there's, like, a red pants
people?
Website.
I don't know about this.
Have you followed this?
No.
The RPP?
The latest
I love this. Yeah, thanks, Linda.
What? Is this to mask your menstruation?
Mask demonstration.
Mask your menstruation.
Wait, what?
What?
Did you say mask demonstration?
Mask your menstruation.
Yep, that's what I thought you said.
RPP? God's name,
red
I just
pants.
Heard.
Like red pants.
They're, like, no, they're like, underwear. They're men and women wearing a lot of red pants and red pants emojis.
Immunity.
So what does it stand for?
I don't know what it stands for, but it really bothers me.
It should.
Is this like a red nose thing? Red pants thing?
Yeah. 312-981-7200.
Talk about it. There's a website devoted to red pants. Look it up.
What does it say?
I don't know. It's just people
wearing
red
pants. What do you
mean
you don't know? How can you not know? You rent to it. You
Katie,
know it. You
Katie
read it.
And Molly are like, we don't know what's happened.
So it's just a society of people who enjoy wearing red pants.
Yeah, but they're mojing, too, with their red pants. Oh. See, that's what's bothersome.
It's enraging to the senator.
It's not, really not that enraging.
We sound a bit off the hinge. Yes.
Would you like to hear the about section of the Red Pants Movement website?
Yeah,
thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is the Red Pants.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
This is the Red Pants Liberation Movement. If you're fed up with your current situation, put on some red pants. Feel awesome, feel confident, feel fearless and powerful. Then march forward and liberate yourself from which holds you back. Your job, your relationship, your voice inside your head, and that just can't be it. Well, you can do it. Put on red pants.
I don't.
This Macy's open.
How are you against this?
The point is,
what's wrong with you?
I don't need pants to feel powerful. That's what I'm saying.
But some people might.
Yeah,
I know. You shouldn't poo-poo them.
But I'm not poo-pooing them. If you want to wear red pants, that's fine. I just don't want you to send me an emoji with your red pants.
Oh, come on. It's fine. Just don't wear your pants around me.
Get your red pants off my lawn, you little bastards.
I wish I was still a senator. I'd file a bill.
I know. You get a resolution.
I would. I would have filed a bill.
Geez. And everyone would show up in red pants.
Oh, jeez. I like Katie's Irish broke. Oh, jeez.
I'm holding everybody in studio. I'm holding everyone in studio. 312-981-7200. We still haven't heard a winner for this. Hold on until I get to this. Whose music is this for a pair of tickets to see Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773? I know. What is it? 312-981-7200. You can call or text for a pair of tickets. I know. I don't think anybody knows. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It's a beautiful evening, and I'm hanging out with some great people. I have Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, and we tease because we love. And you tease because you love. That's why you're a humorist.
Eating a lot.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm stuffing my maw.
just stuff it. Just keep stuffing. And thank you very much for this drawing that you made of me.
Well,
and I'll post it.
When you smile, your whole face, isn't it a delight?
I mean, it's just beautiful. Like,
such a delight.
Yes.
Dan!
I'm going to throw things at you, Senator. Belinda Chang, who is the partner and director of Wine and Service at Maple and Ash. That's Maple and State Street. You know that area. It's hopping. And they've got a great outdoor cafe as well.
And we did it. Six wines.
Yeah, six.
Well done, everyone.
Six wines. Hard, we didn't finish all those bottles, but they've tried some of all of them.
Yeah, we really have.
Scott's going to grab a couple and drink them on his walk
on his way home. On his walk home. Just going to get arrested between here and there. I might take one. I'm not able to have anything because I have had migraines again lately. I used to have migraines.
When did that start?
So it started last week. I got violently. Dang. Violently. It was my worst in 3 years. I was very disappointed.
Did they come in clusters or?
I used to get them every month and I had changed my diet, but I think I've been lax in doing that. So I have to back off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was in bed for like over 3 days. I only came to work. I came here. I would get up at like 9. I would come here and work and go back to bed and just stay in bed again till the next day at 9.
Man.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah.
Any migraine sufferers know. I mean, you can't, like hearing anything, mm-hmm. seeing anything, it's all brutal.
Yeah. My wife has dealt with them for years. Mm-hmm. But tough. They're much better. They've been much better. Since I left the Senate, surprisingly. that
what?
Worked out.
There you go.
Yeah, it's true.
Well done.
I used to have them all the time. I did. I went to counseling, honest to God. And they went away.
Yeah, counseling. Yep. There
See?
You go.
You know what cures migraines?
What cures migraines?
Bitmojis.
See, that's why I was sending them to the Senate.
I knew it was going to come back to it.
Just saying.
Yeah, well.
I do need someone to work on my Bitmoji. I it's as good as I can get. I probably need someone else's eye.
So you're feeling a cartoon.
You're not feeling completely that's authentic true. About the Bitmoji either.
I could never quite get it where I wanted it.
See?
Except for the lipstick.
And that's what I felt. I felt in the text.
No,
I didn't feel
the
like
the picture's great. I'm talking about my Bitmoji.
I can
Bitmoji.
Make that Bitmoji.
Can you really?
Yeah, that'd be easy.
All right.
I love it. Sure? I can build you a better Bitmoji.
We can make it faster.
Faster, stronger.
How do you edit the Bitmoji? Here it is. All right, then. Edit your avatar. You ready?
Boom.
You have to pick a style and all that. Do you have to do it? Have you done these before?
I have not, but I here's okay. what. No, why don't I just draw you?
And then how do I? But then how do I put it in the application?
I don't know.
You just got to get him to draw a bunch.
Molly
of
just did
styles.
A hand gesture. I don't know what she's going to do.
What was that?
Molly's taking over my Bitmoji.
Give me the Bitmoji.
And yes,
give it to the professionals. Don't leave it to the.
Give her the GD phone. She's going to work it out.
All right, I'll be back, you guys. Don't anyone talk to me.
For those who don't know, we've been talking about Bitmoji. Katie, can you explain to those out there who don't know what a Bitmoji is?
Yeah, it's a cartoon avatar. So you create a little cartoon of yourself, usually with an oversized head, oversized features. You can customize the clothes.
Oh, you can have oversized features?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whatever you want to highlight.
Oddly enough for me, like, it doesn't come close.
It would be ridiculous. There's all kinds of, you know, little phrases or sayings, depending on the time of day or what you want to communicate.
Right. It's a little bit of humor, so a sprinkling of humor in a conversation that you're mm-hmm. carrying on with someone by text.
See, I just think you're so funny to begin with, you know? Yeah, but the emoji doesn't do anything for me. You, in person, I just think you're such a laugh riot, so.
But if you can't, like, be with Patty, like, in the same room with her,
yeah.
and you text her and she sends a Bitmoji, like, it just gives that expression.
I feel like she's like a spirit bunny. Like
spirit bunny? what is a
is
spirit
that a Polish
bunny
thing? No, what the hell are we talking about?
What a see, that's coming from the Trump campaign. So, is that a Polish thing? No, it's from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Nevada.
Nevada.
Yeah. It's a whole rally that they were saying their state wrong. Yeah. Like, this is the greatest
what
thing
What were they
ever.
Saying?
They say Nevada. He that's how they say it in Nevada, apparently.
Apparently.
But my husband like spent 5 minutes asking me how I say the state where Las Vegas is, and I was like, Nevada. He's like, how
it's
do you
Nevada.
Say it? And I said, Nevada. He's like, how do you say it? I'm like, Nevada, why are you, what are you doing? And then he played the clip. And I was like, well, I mean, I wouldn't,
Trump.
I often mispronounce things, but I wouldn't like tell a whole room of people that they're saying it wrong. I wouldn't
Especially
chastise
it's in
people.
Their state.
It's in their state. Yeah, feel. You know what that's called? Knowing your audience.
Yes.
It is. Totally.
Knowing your audience.
I still can't believe Scott went after me for being Polish. It's kind of shocking.
This
is spirit 2016,
bunny.
Isn't it? It's weird.
Are you feeling persecuted or totally. Prosecuted?
I'm going to have to get an emoji.
What do you think about this?
Let me see.
Oh, I didn't know. Where were the pigtails coming from?
Let's see.
They're there because you wear your hair in like braids.
Oh, see, that's
sometimes.
Better.
Yeah, that's closer.
See, that's closer.
Almond eyes. All right. Coming through.
All right, then.
See, yeah.
She's magic.
Well, she knows
totally.
What she's doing.
Wow.
Yeah, she's I'm a working Bitmoji expert.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's something to brag about, but why not?
So is. You could totally brag it. She's an emoji expert.
I mean, I'm just going
okay,
through the choices.
But the thing about the bangs, okay, this is, but you know when I take photos, I floof them so they don't separate in the middle.
It's a bang thing. I'm with
you,
sister.
You do a side bang.
I get the bang thing. Completely.
Yeah. Because I
can't. We need a bang fluffer.
Yeah. I need someone to come through. When we do our selfie together, you and I will both be like, it's not quite where I want them to be. Like... Yes, we need bang fluffers. Is that.
Yes. Yes.
But she said that. Out of...
Yes, it's fine.
I did. Is that okay?
Was that Katie? Is it a thing?
Oh, yeah.
We've
oh,
made it a
fluffers?
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a spirit bunny bang fluffing us.
Bang fluff. And red pants.
A bunny
is going to bang fluff.
That was one hell of a night.
I heard you needed a bunny bang fluffer. I'm here to fluff the bang.
Heard there's a bang fluffer on here.
Where's the girl guy?
I paid very well.
Fluff.
I get benefits.
Everything's great. Fluffers with benefits. Yes.
Give me more wine. Just kidding.
I haven't had a drop. That's the greatest.
No, she just had the fumes.
I've had Pellegrino all night. This is the best night of my entire life. Is just having everybody in my studio drinking. Esmeralda, I do this more often.
Is she back?
She's upstairs.
Yeah, she's there.
She's right there.
With the red highlights.
I missed her.
I don't even. That doesn't even belong on Nick D's show because I mean, like, you can't really take that out of context. That's full in context. I don't know what happened. It's a good night. How are my bangs?
Your bangs are looking banging.
Yeah. Banging.
Your bangs are banging.
Banging.
We are all in the Showcase studio. This is a show you should have been watching from the beginning on WGNRadio.com. By the way, if you do go to WGNRadio.com and watch the live stream, you can rewind it to the beginning of the show. You can go all the way back to when we all entered and just kind of...
Oh,
if
God,
you could tell
I
us,
hope so.
If you could tell us what unfolded here tonight, we would appreciate...
They can't hear us during the break, though, right?
No, they can't hear us
that.
Or
okay,
see us.
Okay,
thank God.
So good.
No, they used to. Craig and I used to work out during the breaks, and we would we would do exercises during
burpees.
The breaks. And yes, we have done burpees
break
during
time
the breaks.
Burpees. Yeah,
we would do some arm exercises, and I would pull up YouTube videos, and we would do the same workout in the booth and out here. And listeners had if they could text in or call us that we were working out during the break, they would win something.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there you go. I know, but anyway, you can rewind. These are the things that we've done on the show before.
Thank you. I've been here before.
But then we would forget. And then, did we ever make you work out?
It's a great show. Yes. I think I did work out before.
Did you really?
I think we did Pilates for like 10 minutes. It's crazy.
That wasn't for the show.
That was for the show. Patty's like, if you're going to go out there, you got to do some Pilates.
You got to do some Pilates.
You got to get rid of all that toxic stuff. So...
Katie Nixon and Molly Rayner are opening Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773. We're going to take caller number three for a pair of tickets to the show this Saturday night. Opening night. 312-981-7200. You can call us at 312-981-7200. Stage 773 is on Belmont near Sheffield.
Yep, 1225 West Belmont Ave.
And there's some great restaurants around there, too. I love, we have our good friends that have the, oh my gosh, the fish market.
Falstrom's.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Falstrom's. Yes.
Falstrom's Fish Market.
I don't know why that name always falls out of my head. And we have a caller that just won from the 847.
Woo-hoo!
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host. Wow, it is a party in the Allstate Showcase studio. The push for the pennant begins tonight. Count on your Cubs TV station, Senator. Hey, everybody. I have a show to do. If everybody... I'm going to read this live read. If everybody could... 3, 2... Shh. One, here we go. The push for the pennant begins tonight. Count on your Cubs TV station, WGN, for complete news and sports coverage throughout the playoffs. Throughout the playoffs. And we're going all the way, Belinda Chang. We are going all the way. Watch WGN TV for everything Cubs this October. Is that a bad thing for me to say all the way for the Cubs? Do you believe in superstitions?
No. Not anymore.
No.
It's over.
Not anymore.
No.
When did you stop?
You know, earlier tonight when Mark Harmon was talking. I was like, forget about it.
Forget it.
I'm not going to let this infiltrate and infect my mind anymore. It's been 49 years of suffering that I've endured, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to deal with this superstition anymore. Either they're good or they're not,
mm-hmm. right?
It has nothing to do with who's in the crowd. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the weather, or anything like that. Either they're a baseball team that's prepared to win or not.
Right, because when Bartman foul ball back into the
fist bump.
When Bartman. What just happened?
We fist bumped and I hurt him.
I'm just kidding.
He's fragile.
Very fragile.
She was raised as a military kid.
I know. Yeah. That she told me a couple times.
And just showed you.
She's gave the fatigues.
She didn't plan.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
So Bartman.
Let's keep going.
All right. What was I saying? Well, the team fell apart after that, but that was psychological. And
yeah, but you know what? Yeah. Alex Gonzalez.
I shouldn't bring it up.
Yeah, you should. Because I got... But... Could have been a double play. Dropped the ball.
All right,
so
then.
That's it.
You've can we talk about your experience studying improv and sketch comedy?
It was kind of traumatic. But
why was it so traumatic?
I'm just kidding.
It was not.
Traumatic.
You had fun.
I had a lot of fun.
He studied at Second City.
Great.
I did.
Great.
Yeah. So that means they let anybody in that place. they cash a lot of checks over there. They're like, you're kind of funny, sort of. What'd you say?
What?
It's back when I had a comb over.
Yes,
and. They really like, there's like a big audience for, you know, big drive for comb over people. So,
humor.
Yeah.
Is it huge,
remember
Katie?
That?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. It was all the rage.
It was.
No, it really wasn't. No.
We're not entirely sure what happened. Belinda Chang also joins us. She's a partner and director of Wine and Service at Maple and Ash. When you guys are recruiting, like when you're bringing in new people to work, my guess is because you seem like so much fun to have as a boss.
Thanks.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Let's see if we get the call-ins right now. Is your switchboard lighting
so
up?
Fun.
Let me tell you,
I think they're just getting off right now. We'll see what happens.
A lot of people come in for free wine. It's like, no, it's not free.
No.
Just on the radio.
Yeah, but to lure you in. When people come in, what can they expect from the staff that works at Maple and Ash?
I think we're just about fun. I mean, it's a celebration, right? You know, you go to a steakhouse and it's like a big deal. I remember when I was little, my dad, like if there was any kind of thing like you got straight A's on your report card or didn't and tried.
Right.
That would be a steakhouse dinner. So for us, it's, you know, you got the date with the hot girl or the hot guy or you closed a real estate deal or you're just celebrating the day. We actually just did all of our reviews, our 1-year reviews. We're almost 1 year old with all of our staff.
And happy birthday.
Thank you so much. We can't believe we're still alive. So that's really good. And we've drank a lot of wine along the way. But, you know, we have this sort of line on the server review that says magic. So, you know, I'm doing sparkle fingers right now. Because obviously, you know, you got to ring in the order right. You got to fill their water glass. But for us, it's really important that there's always this magic piece that makes it really fun, makes every dinner there feel like a celebration. So, yeah.
And had you been with Let Us Entertain You?
I did work with them for a little bit. I opened Osteria Via Stato, which was down the street.
That's a great restaurant.
Way back in the day.
The restaurant my parents took me to when I was a kid to celebrate was Hat Dance.
Oh, Hat Dance.
I love that. It was
that Mexican-Japanese?
Yes.
That was something crazy.
Yes. They had the best pork of a barbacoa.
Yeah.
And they had, and their ahi tuna was amazing.
And it looked like Casablanca inside,
it
right?
Did.
All
it,
white
it was,
and trees.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was. It felt magical when I went there. So that's when you're talking about that.
Sparkle fingers. It was magic.
Yeah.
And when Michael Flatley danced, it was awesome.
What are you talking about?
That's Riverdance. I see what you're saying. Riverdance, hat dance,
it all comes full circle. I see what happens. We're all dancing around the house. That's Senator Katowski work. Sorry. He's brushing off that all that training he had.
That training. Wow, that sounded really like an endorsement. All that training.
All that training.
Like potty training. It wasn't successful.
Katie Nixon and Molly Rayner are opening Smokin' Hot Brains. What's the rest of the title?
A cerebral sketch comedy show.
And they are going to be opening this Saturday night. You can go to stage773.com for more information. And which theater are you in?
We're in the Cabaret Theater.
Oh, very nice. So it's intimate.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah. Are you doing like wardrobe changes?
Multiple.
There's all the wardrobe
You can
changes.
Always guarantee that Katie and I will play so many characters, so many wardrobe changes. The whole stage is filled with props.
And the thing is, you guys have a lot of energy. It's very kinetic. It's a dynamic show that I think it really draws people in. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what we've heard.
We like dancing.
We love dancing.
Did you? I didn't mean to cut you off as far as another. No. So, did you guys want to do another song, or did you have the one? I didn't.
Patty, we do have a song, but it's on a track.
Ooh, did you send it to Craig?
We have the computer to send it to him.
Yeah. We have the technology.
Yeah.
But before we let you go, we'll see if we can get that over to Craig and play that for you. And Scott Stantis,
yes.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm great.
How many variations?
I have tried 5 wines, so I'm feeling great.
Woo-hoo! He's gonna be a load to carry home tonight. Good thing I did my push-ups.
I'm on like 3 podcasts
so very
tomorrow.
Close. 3 podcasts.
What, 2, 3? You know, I'm on a live radio and 2 podcasts. I'm going to be on Mincing Rascals on WGN Plus,
which airs on WGN Plus.
As does Prickly City Podcast, which is mine. So I'm
excellent.
Gonna do that. And then I'm going to be on a radio station, a statewide radio station in Alabama tomorrow morning.
Wow. Sweet.
And are you doing politics on all 3 of them? Are you doing this political
campaign? Yeah, all 3, yeah.
Because the other thing I didn't talk about was when he said Nevada, not Nevada.
Yes.
Trump also said that I don't care if you come from your doctor and get the worst prognosis, that you only have 2 weeks to live.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Oh, he's a human being.
It's anytime all I had to do is say I don't care, and I'm like, that's a soundbite right there. It's very strange
when he made fun of soldiers coming back with post-traumatic stress syndrome, I can tell that man can go to hell.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people said, well, that's not what he said. That's not what he was saying. Maybe he's not the most – he's a little clumsy with words. I mean, I only played that clip on my Facebook page just in that isolated part where he said, some of you are strong enough, the things that you've seen.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's the same time when he said with McCain, I like my warriors not to be, captured. Well, right. To hell with you. To hell with you.
What are you thinking about, Senator? You seem like you're contemplating
things. So many things.
and yet so little, isn't it?
What's that?
It's so many things
I never before, I think, in the history of our country have we had so many people explain away the intent or the words that were delivered quite clearly that a candidate has stated. It's obvious what he says. It's obviously what he means. And then people's like, no, he really didn't mean that.
Right.
He didn't mean to be horribly offensive. He didn't mean to be demeaning. He didn't mean to be alienating. This is what he was trying to say. Or he didn't say it at all.
Right.
Even though there's just an abundance of evidence to the contrary. And it's just staggeringly, as someone who's run for office and is had words scrutinized and editorial boards say to me, okay, what did you mean? Did you mean that when you said that? I'm like, yeah, that's what I meant. And so there's just this, the depth of the apology that's allowed to occur for a candidate for the highest office in the land is staggering to me, because we know what he means because he says it in the plainest terms.
And he does, himself doesn't apologize.
Yeah,
he never says,
he doesn't speak in nuance.
By the way, Dan, the same editorial board you just made fun of for endorsing Gary Johnson is the same editorial
board. I didn't make fun of him.
Yeah, you smile at me.
We were
you
laughing.
You smirk at me.
They endorsed me.
So. They've endorsed you in every race you've run in.
They did.
Every race.
Not every race. Not the first one.
They didn't?
But I still won.
Which shows you the power of the editorial board.
Boom. That just happened.
Was that the point? Was it they endorsed?
The point that they've endorsed Dan a lot of times. And so, there.
Wow. See, let's take him. Let's take him to debate class together because he just crushed it. So, but there. The point is, it's like I
China.
I you were gonna say.
Spirit bunny.
Spirit bunny. Yes, that's what I should have quoted Fast Times at Ridgemont High because people could take that quote out of context. Mm-hmm. But the point is, he should be able to articulate what he said. And like, what did you mean? I didn't mean. Well, no, you can't just say things and just say things off the top of your head and be absolutely insulting people and not be taken account for.
Exactly.
You can't do it. It's just.
His comments about Miss Universe, whatever contest he controls.
Alicia Machado.
He says, now, all these years later, I was joking. I was joking.
Well,
it was huge.
That's the thing about having video of that, though. There is video of having press conferences while he had a personal train. The thing about that story, Esmeralda, I hope you don't mind me bringing you into this conversation. You and I both remembered that when this conversation came up, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of why I didn't like him in the first place, was when I was a kid, when I was younger, he humiliated this woman on an international scale.
Oh, for sure. It was all over the Spanish stations.
This was a reason he was. You know, they were talking about how they wanted to bring her back down to 128 pounds. She'd gained weight to 135.
Right.
She'd weighed 118 when she won Miss Universe, and he wanted her back down to 118. The trainer said it would be healthier if she was a feminine 128. It was a whole. I mean, this was the press conference, and then he had another press conference. I mean, these are things I remember. All those interviews that he had. So when it came up in the debate, I was like, "Did you guys not all know about this?" Esmeralda and I were both surprised that it, like, now it's a thing.
If my father, if I ever use these types of words about women, my father would have punched me in the face.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know.
Miss Piggy in housekeeping?
It's just completely.
Can you imagine?
And I can't emphasize enough to you, like, I grew up in a family where my mom's big Irish family, six of her sisters. They were the dominant force in our family, and they continue to be.
You had a little bit of fear right there, just saying.
Well, no, they're just all like an unbelievable amount of respect, you know, and for them, and just the way in which, and it's just it doesn't reflect the way our world is or the way it should be, mm-hmm. And it's so awful. My sister, maybe she's like, I'm so sick of being judged. I'm 52 years old, and I'm still carrying. The legacy, the way people talked about me or treated me because of the way that I looked.
Right.
You know what I mean? Growing up. And I just think it's like, it's an awful thing. And I don't know why it's being talked about, but in the context of a way, I think the Hillary Clinton commercial about this is one of the most compelling things I've ever seen in the entire history of political campaigning, where they show these young women looking into the mirror and Donald Trump's words.
Right.
Are basically overlaid in that commercial. And I just think it's so powerful, but it's so awful because kids listen to this stuff and they think it's okay. It hasn't been okay to talk this way. It hasn't been. And now suddenly it's going to be
more. I agree with Dan 1,000,000%. But how do you explain the guy is still only two points behind? I don't get it.
Because of the people that Dan's sister grew up with. Because that we've all made it okay to talk about women that way. One of Griffin's classmates stood up and said that she didn't think that Hillary Clinton could be a good president because how can she make good decisions when she's menstruating? More to this on 720 WGN.
This one's the ladies.
Ooh, you're looking so fine. I can see you staring at me. I can smell that Calvin Klein. I can tell you wanna get out of here. I can see how this will end. Then you say you still live with your ex-girlfriend.
Oh, why'd you have to do it? Oh, why'd you have to do it? You ruined your chance to use your perfectly good penis.
What?
You live with your ex, but I'm drunk enough and give you a second chance. Been a long time since I got mine, and you smell like Calvin Klein. You put your hands all over my body, I'm exploding like a big ass bomb. Then you whisper in my ear, your perfume smells like my mom. No, why'd you have to do it? Why'd you have to do it? You ruined your chance to use your perfectly good penis. Shh, shh, shh. just stop talking. Oh my God, don't you wanna get laid? Quiet, 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 shut up. Should've shut this down, but you smell like Alvin Clay.
Ooh!
God damn it, the booze is wearing off now. This night is gone from why you're another mother trucker man child.
It's just like, is it so much to ask to meet a nice, intelligent guy?
Yeah.
Who doesn't say something stupid at the end of the mother trucking night?
Yeah, Molly. Yeah, say it.
Dang, Craig! Hit the next track. Why'd you have to do it?
Ooh.
Why'd you have to do it? You ruined your chance.
To what?
To use your perfectly good penis.
Oh,
God dang it, mother.
Why'd you have to do it?
Ooh. Why'd you have to do it? You ruined your chance.
To use your perfectly good penis.
Why'd you have to do it, Craig? Have to do it.
Ooh,
we're done, Craig.
You ruined your chance.
I need some more of this Malbec.
That's Molly Rayner and Katie Nixon. They are opening. They're opening at Stage 773 with Smokin' Hot Brains. And you can go to stage773.com and get your tickets right there. There's another plug. There's an adapter that's I need the bigger adapter that sticks in there. Hold on a second. Someone else talk for a second. Scott, do you want to talk about what just happened there?
Well, I don't have headphones either, so we can just keep talking.
Yeah, that was,
how about that debate, huh?
That was unfortunately inspired by true events.
Awesome song.
That was Craig was like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to edit here, or is it?
Well, we may just so everyone knows, we may have dropped a word that can't really be used in the exact context it was used in.
Really? The word, yes, yeah. One of those. Yeah,
if you were talking to a gentleman with said name, that would be okay.
As a matter of fact, like if you were talking to who? Nixon. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Hey, Marco here. If we could survey politicians as to when they realize they've committed a faux pas, how many of them would say one of the following? A, when the words came out of my mouth. B, when I got a negative reaction from the floor. C, when social media exploded, or D, when it was in the press the next day. You know, how long does it take him? Now, back in the Nixon era, he was on national television. I don't know whether it was a debate or a press conference, but someone brought it to his attention that he seemed angry after some disagreement or opponent's reply, and he said, oh, no, I only get angry with people I respect. And then he said, "Well, actually, what I meant was,
but Mark, you would say you're you
late. He'd already said it,
right? But you're saying a similar thing in the
it's been happening all through the years that politicians feel they have to backpedal or spin on what they've already said.
You don't think that that kind of Trump is a little bit in a different league than what's gone on before? Because I would say this is really quite different. Significantly in tone, and I've never heard him say it's not what I said or it's not what I meant. I mean, maybe he has a couple times. He doesn't really walk much back.
He typically doubles down,
or that it's more that those people are being too sensitive, or that they don't get it. You know, I mean, when she said basket of deplorables, she immediately came out and said, "I shouldn't have used that language." Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Do you think Trump lacks self awareness?
I do, actually. I think that's an excellent question. Self-awareness? Yeah, I mean, to stand in front of...
And if he lacks self-awareness, do you want him to be president, for heaven's sake?
I'm with you. No. No, I think I'm pretty clear on my... I'm not voting for Trump, yes.
Really?
I think you and I kind of agree on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, no, I will not be. From the very beginning, there's... I know, Scott, it's very surprising.
I had pieces of me waxed because I disagreed with you, so I'm never doing it again.
That I thought he would be the candidate. How are you doing in this political season, Marco?
I think it's a choice. Trump, I've decided that Trump is an overgrown little boy. Now, it happens that somebody that I was talking with in a church setting grew up with someone who knew Hillary in Park Ridge, Illinois. And the remark was made, well, hugging Hillary is like hugging a cactus. And then the person who had grown up in Park Ridge said, well, that's actually being nice.
That doesn't really tell us much about it.
I live in Park Ridge, and I've never heard that said about her.
The question is, can she run the country? Yeah. And the problem I have with Trump is this. There, a classmate back from my high school days said that whenever she had heard him in a one-on-one interview, he seemed very rational and mature. And I said, okay, that's fine if he's that way during private interviews, but he has been a real jerk in public, and he's been like an overgrown little boy. Now, my question is, when he deals with statesmen, when he deals with other statesmen and foreign powers, which persona are we going to get, the overgrown little boy or the rational man?
I hope that we never have to find that out, and I think it's a responsibility of people to understand that that is what the kind of thing that's at stake.
Absolutely. Can you imagine him sitting across from Putin or the president of China saying, you're fired?
Yeah, no. I think that... I know that there are people who are very passionate about this, who feel very strongly we have to go in a different direction, that they don't like Hillary, but this cannot be this cannot be the answer.
The thing about overgrown little boys, and I have a couple of them, is that overgrown little boys usually say they're sorry.
Right.
And that's the difference. I don't think he has an accountability gene, and that's very important when it comes to being a leader.
And just to follow up on the, I only disagree with people I respect. I think that was the same press conference where he said, I am not a crook. Oh. So Richard Nixon. So just going to the historical backstory here, which we need to understand.
Here, let's see what Patrick wanted to share.
Would you stop looking at me like that, Dan?
I'm not looking at it. Hey, Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
I am not good.
No.
It's ridiculous. To call him a guy that's acting like a little boy is ridiculous. He is a jackass.
I thought Patrick was going to get mad at us.
No, I love you.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. Love you, too.
And I want to say, to anybody that's listening to the show, call in. Why are you not calling in? You have opinions. People call in. They don't eliminate you for whatever reason. I get in all the time. And my UPS buddy driver, Matt Mayhew, is a hero because I call in and say his name. Those guys are listening and driving. But either way, to say for an adult male, to insult any woman because of her weight, right there, I don't care everything. She has no political knowledge at all. He is he's a guy that's, like you said, he's a genius because he doesn't pay any taxes? Really? You're going to brag about that?
I know. It's all...
Really?
I know. It's gotten ridiculous.
I have five sisters and a mother and cousins that have weight issues. And if he was in my vicinity and said something to them about their weight, I would dock him. I would just drop him in a heartbeat. I am a very skinny person. I have no problem. I don't eat.
Well, and he's not a skinny person, so you probably could. And run away if you didn't knock him down.
There's something on Facebook that has a picture of him as a female.
Yes.
And states everything that he has done. But as a female.
Right. If a woman had done that, would we stand for it?
Would you vote for me?
Right.
I mean, are you seriously? I guarantee you she had that done. You know, somebody on his team had that done.
Well,
just to make it's just I can't believe our country is that ignorant that we have these two people on the board as the top dogs to vote for. It's just killing me. And my kids are asking me all the time. I've got four kids. Three girls and one boy, and they're always asking me, where do we live?
I know. And you don't even have to be a kid to feel that way. I think everyone's feeling that way. I also, when you mentioned, I go back to this every time, when the people who show up to these rallies laugh at the things that he says, and if Patrick mentioned, if someone said that to his sister, or if someone said that to one of your friends, call them overweight. If someone mocked a disabled reporter or mocked my son, my friends who I know are voting for Trump, they wouldn't tolerate people treating Declan like that. And I don't know if you saw this rally in Colorado where a mother came there with her daughter who has special needs. She was born without – she has a lot of developmental delays, but she also has no jaw. She was born without that part of her the structure of her face. Right. And her daughter was getting kind of restless, and the woman decided to leave, and people thought that she was like walking out in protest, and they started yelling at her. They had to send the Secret Service over to escort them out so that they were safe, because people were booing at them and like charging at them. And this was a woman with a special needs child. So I know that people are like, I'm not like that. But when you support this candidacy, it is truly giving permission. It just simply is.
Let me jump in as a Republican, as someone who worked on Republican campaigns since literally I was a kid. The ascendancy of Donald Trump has been an immense embarrassment to me as a Republican or as a conservative. And to see him do the things you describe, to see him use the tone that he has used in this campaign, has been an immense embarrassment. And frankly, I don't know where this takes me. I mean, right. I certainly am not a Republican if this is what the Republican Party stands for anymore. And, you know, I have many Republican friends who say, oh, you're just touchy-feeling, you're in too much close contact with the liberals in the Chicago Tribune newsroom. I go, no, that's not what's happening here. Because I became a Republican, I became a conservative because I really felt it was a way for everyone to rise up. You know, Dan and I agree on this, that we want people to rise. We have different ways and different policies we think this can happen. But the fact of the matter is, that's what we want if you're an American of good conscience and good heart. And this guy reflects none of that. So it's an embarrassment, and it tears me up inside. I mean,
it's damaging. I think it is damaging to, I wouldn't say it's just the Republican Party, because I think it's damaging to this country to, you know, I saw someone post, I can't wait for the racists to be scared again, because there is none right now. There is this permission, this hatred that has come. I mean, people are like, yeah, when they started, it started out with, oh, he says whatever he thinks. Well, you know,
so
saying
a 4-year-old.
Whatever. Exactly. We have to do What's That From when we come back.
Awesome.
Because that'll be our Tell Me Something Good. It'll be
Sorry
What's That
so
From.
Heavy,
no, that was. No, we appreciate it. Never
apologize. For your passion.
Never apologize.
And your clearly articulated thoughts, which are clearly on our side of the aisle right now, which is outstanding.
That's not an aisle. There's no aisle.
Yeah,
no,
I have an aisle right here.
I'm an aisle. Put your aisle away.
Give me aisle. No, I'm not putting it away.
Tell your
I'm not whipping the aisle out.
More after this.
I'm whipping that aisle out.
We're going to sweep the aisle. You are listening pretty late on the host. This is usually when we tell you something good. Did you lose something, Senator Kutowski?
You're going to give Molly some earphones.
Oh, headphones. Yes, there should be. What happened to the ones that Belinda used?
I'm good.
How do we run out of headphones? This is so strange.
Molly and I will
share. 312-981.
This is going to be life-changing.
We invite you to call because we are about to play What's That From? I don't know why we're falling off a cliff when we do that. We offered to have Katie and Molly and or Molly read the scene, but because you haven't seen the movie, I've said no to that.
Oh,
I know.
Stereotypical
so very sorry.
Millennials.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, do you have the stage directions?
I do.
Are there any?
Let's do it.
There's a couple, yeah.
All right, then cool. And then Craig is directing. 312-981-7200. When you know the name of this movie, you will win a gift card from Apple Electronics, as well as a pair of tickets to see Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773. 312-981-7200.
It is now once again time for What's That From?
Pop Fisher?
Who wants to know?
I'm Roy Hobbs, your new right fielder.
My what?
It's right here.
Scotty Carson sent you here.
That's right.
He must be nuts. Where do they find these guys? Fella, you don't start playing baseball at your age. You retire.
Pop pauses for a moment.
Where'd he find you?
The Heber Oilers.
The Heber Oilers? I never heard of them.
They're semi-pro.
Mutters.
Semi-pro.
Pop turns his attention to the action on the field.
Schultz, go warm up. You ever play organized ball in your life?
I just got back in the game.
What's that mean?
I used to play in high school.
Excuse me?
I used to play in high school.
Red, he used to play in high school. That's nice.
Pop is overwhelmed with anger.
Scotty Carson signs him up. The judge okays it. They ain't talked to me yet.
Pop pauses, trying to understand the situation.
I got that in my deal. For as long as I live, they gotta talk to me.
I got a contract.
I want to see it.
Again, Pop turns his attention to the field.
Come on, Hinkle!
Pop looks at Roy's contract.
$500 they give this guy to play with us?
Pausing once again.
This ain't legal.
Is Carson your chief scout? He said he had the authority to sign me.
Yeah, well, I don't have.
Let me talk to you just a minute.
Red and Pop moved to the corner of the dugout.
He has, Pop. You said so yourself. If he ever found anybody decent.
I know, but look at this guy. I don't need no middle-aged rookies.
Well, we sure need somebody.
Pop yells to Roy from across the dugout.
Hey, fella! All right. You come at a bad time. Like Red says, Scotty Carson's seen something in you.
Pop finally accepts Roy as part of the team.
Go find Dr. Dizzy. Suit up.
And there you have our scene from What's That From?
Excellent, Pop.
Oh, that's fine. No, we said Pop in the script, so it's just fine. Great. Joanne. Oh, Joni. Hi, Joni.
Top notch.
Joni.
Hey, Joni.
Hi.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I watch it and listen to it every night.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Right. What movie scene was that?
The Natural.
Yeah. Yay! We figured with a baseball movie, would be fun tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the hours before we go to the first game of the playoffs, are you a fan of the movie?
Yes. Yeah. I just saw it a couple weeks ago. It was replayed on TV.
It gives me the chills every time I see it.
Does it really?
It does.
See,
the ending especially is just unbelievable. Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, hold on the line. We've got a gift card for you from Apt Electronics and also a pair of tickets to see Smokin' Hot Brains at Stage 773. Molly, Katie, what do you want to tell people before we go about your show? What should they know?
Big characters, big fun, lots of music. It's an intimate space, and we're definitely going to get in your space, and you'll get in our space.
Get in each other's space.
We can't wait.
Yay.
Come on down.
Yeah. Stage773.com for more information, the schedule, and tickets right there on your website. Senator, what do you want to tell people before you go?
This is just such a great show, and you're a wonderful host, and I'm so grateful to know you.
Thank you for coming and hanging out. And Scott, before we throw
through
the news.
I can agree Morse.
Morse?
I can agree Morse. Morse. Apparently, I'm from the South Side.
Hey,
Nick
Morse.
D is up next. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you, Craig, Rob Martier, and all. And Belinda Chang, by the way, who was fantastic.
Ah,
so much fun.